Taxation is theft.
Please, at least leave us alone in our living room.
My job is to find the truth.
Double the taxes.
I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
Triple the taxes.
This is an IRS agent's dream.
If you think that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself.
Beautiful, lovely taxes.
Sorry, but I don't do taxes.
Did you see the memo about this?
The government is a greedy piglet.
Just leave us alone.
Do you know what Ralph just said?
The roads.
You boys like Mexico?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore.
Hello, hello. Welcome back. Taxation is theft. We have a really awesome show for you today. I've got Sharky, who is an advocate for abolishing the IRS. And he's actually got some awesome history with Irwin Schiff. He was mentioned in the book, The Federal Mafia, and he knows quite a bit about the IRS. So, Sharky, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Could be better, but looking forward to it. Getting better, much better.
Yeah. Are you talking about the this situation we're in with the virus and the lockdown and everything else that's going on?
Yeah, sure am. I mean, a lot of people are going through a lot of stuff right now, and put that on the back burner right now. And if you want to get started talking about the IRS and how I had just mentioned to you a couple of seconds ago about how I just hope that I'm still alive to see the end of the IRS.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about it. So where do we begin? The IRS, the can we call it a cancer on humanity, on America? It really drains the lifeblood out of everybody. It makes us work twice as hard to earn the same amount. It keeps us, it does everything it can to keep us down on top of all the other taxes that they're giving us. What is, I guess, let's just ask, I know your opinion of the IRS, in general, I guess I should say, what is your opinion of the IRS? Is it illegitimate, or should it be collecting some tax? Is it completely illegitimate? Is it a fraud? Is it legal? What's your opinion on this?
My opinion about the IRS. All right. They're all a bunch of criminals. That's for one. Okay, I have no doubt about that. Been there and done that. I have two convictions, as a matter of fact. When Irwin Schiff was on trial, a judge by the name of Dorsey, I believe it was, I wrote him a nice letter about what I thought about him. Well, I shouldn't have done that. Made him angry, and then all of a sudden I was realizing I was in the courtroom being on trial for something that wow. wasn't even a crime.
And that's
okay.
That's really what they did to Irwin too, right? Didn't they basically falsified a bunch of information and pressured him into signing a false return and all this other nonsense to convict him,
well,
right?
It gets deeper into that, because even though as much as Irwin knew, even at that time, back in 82, when I first went to his first seminar back down in South Florida here in Miami, and there's still a lot that he was beginning to learn and find out. And through the years, he wrote this book right here. If anybody knows about Irwin, he's seen this one. How anyone can stop paying income taxes. And ever since then, I mean, I've made a lot of enemies in the IRS. And to tell you the truth, I don't really fault them directly, individually, maybe a couple of them, but they are pawns being used, and they flat out just don't know any better. And what they'll do is they'll divert to somebody else, and then before you realize it, you're in front of two, three of these goons And I say goons, and I really mean that term, because that's exactly what they are, goons. And then in 92, I got convicted of tax evasion. And the thing about that, and I ask anybody that's listening to this now, just think about this for a second, how I'm working for a living, just like anybody else is. I'm just earning my paycheck. And they come after me for tax evasion. How can I be avoiding a tax? Where am I hiding it? Do I have offshore accounts? I'm getting the money from working just like everybody else, and I'm getting a tax evasion thing here, and it didn't make any sense. And then I had to delve into it more, because I was brought into this situation more by these goons. And that's basically where I am now.
That's an interesting situation, because from what I know about tax evasion, and feel free to correct me, it's you have to have already established, or the IRS already established, that you owe the money. You have to have the money, and you have to be attempting to hide that money from the IRS. Simply not filing is not tax evasion. It's once a tax has been assessed and you do something, and I think the law even says you have to do something illegal to avoid paying the tax, then it becomes tax evasion. Is that right?
Well, I'll tell you what. In that vein, okay, that's basically right. But it gets even deeper than that, because what a lot of people don't realize is, first off, what originally, where it actually just came from, and a lot of people are aware of this, what they used to do is tax the states. Each state is responsible to get the money from you and give it to the federal government. The federal government has been on all levels, on all different kind of things that they are, the federal government has been getting to the individuals, but that's not the way it was set up.
Right.
Okay. I mean, we are in essence being regulated. We're under regulations. There's no laws involved there. Okay. Now a very important part into what you were talking about, 7201, the evasion part.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I mentioned it to you before when we were talking, and now I'll bring it out for everybody to know and see. When they have the regulations, okay, they come from Congress and the Senate, okay, and they get the statutes, and the regulations are created basically by the agencies and everything, okay? So they implement the statutes, okay? So when you have 7201, tax evasion, you go look in the regulations, and you won't find an implementing regulation for 7201. It's not there. Okay? And there's a lot of cases like that. If you know what you're looking for and like that. But,
this is what's always fascinated me about this, and I'm going to let me see if I can get this on screen here so everybody can see it. But I want to I want to show that actual. Come on.
By the way, while you're doing that, I would mention the Federal Mafia is a very good reading, and it is online for people to download. If you would search it, free download, Federal Mafia, you'll find it. Very easy to find.
Yeah, it is.
And
it is an amazing book. And this is actually, this book got Irwin... basically they tried to ban this book And what I thought was interesting, because I looked, I remember this was years ago. I went back and looked up the actual, you know, court documents for that case where they were trying to ban the book. And what happened was they couldn't ban it. And they said because he was giving people instructions in the book not to file their taxes, and telling somebody not to do something is not the same as telling them to do something illegal.
Right.
That's why they said they didn't ban it. What I thought was fascinating about that was they had this entire book, and at no point did they ever say, oh, there's this sentence in this book and it's false. They never said that.
No.
You would think if they tried to ban a book, that's the very first thing that they would do is go through there and say, this has wrong information in it about the tax code. We need to ban it based on that. Nope. All right. So I'm going to show. So I've got this on the screen now. You can't see it, but our viewers can. And so this is section 7201. And it says, any person who willfully attempts in any manner to evade or defeat any tax imposed by this title or the payment thereof, in addition to other penalties provided by law, be guilty of a felony, and upon conviction thereof shall be fined more than $100,000 and some other stuff. Okay, two things interesting here is the IRS already admits on their website that tax avoidance is perfectly legal. And this says a person who willfully attempts in any manner to evade or defeat any tax. If you're defeating the tax, I mean, what do they mean by evade and defeat? But this one really gets me right here. And I'm using the Cornell University website, which is really cool because part of the income tax code is all these words are like redefined in other places. And Cornell makes it really easy. So if you click on person here, it'll tell you how person is defined in section 7343. And it says the person as used in this chapter includes an officer or employee of a corporation or a member or employee of a partnership who, as such officer, employee, or member, is under duty to perform the act in respect with which the violation occurs. That basically says this law only applies to corporations, which if you try to figure out the constitutionality of this, makes more sense because the government is, I mean, a corporation is a contract that you made with the government. And so they don't really need special laws to collect money over a contract. I think that's a really fascinating point that's really often overlooked. But okay, so back to, you know, back to your story. So So how did this go down? What was I remember you were telling me something about.
Yeah, that... before you go too far from where you were, what you read, okay, there's something I want to bring to your attention and everybody's attention, because it's one of the bigger items that a lot of people bring out. Okay, supposedly this is an income tax. Okay, supposedly, well, okay, nobody's ever defined income in reference to what they're talking about. Okay. Then they say, well, in the Internal Revenue Code, the word income is defined. Is that your understanding?
Not exactly. My understanding is that it's an excise tax on the privileged income that is derived from government from a government.
Well, income. All I'm saying is basically is that. If you go into the Internal Revenue Code or any law or anything that means anything, okay, a statute, you'll always see a group of items that they want to make sure everybody knows exactly what the meaning is at that point, okay? And in the Internal Revenue Code, there's a section, I don't even care to remember it anymore because it is meaningless. If you go to where they tell you that the word income is defined, if you take notice and you look any place else, you see the difference. The word income is not in quotes, okay? And every other place where you're defining something, what you're defining is in quotes for a reason, to make sure you know exactly what is being defined. It's in quotes. How come the word income is not in quotes? And you know, When I found that out, you're never going to guess where I was. I was on the stand at my trial when I noticed that. You can imagine how I felt.
Yeah, it's, I mean, and this is how they have the cards stacked against us, because like there are all of these little things that you, like, you cannot take the income tax and read it, aside from the fact that it's a million pages. You can't read it and catch all these little things unless you know they're there.
Exactly.
And that's what they use to really screw us over with this.
Correct. You were about to go on to something else before you interrupted.
Yes. So, I'm trying to find that page with the definitions, but,
okay.
Yeah. I wanted to, what was I going to ask? It was, so you said something about this court. Uh-huh. So they claimed that you owed money, and they charged you with not paying the money, but they never attempted to collect the money.
Oh, that's very interesting. Yes, definitely is. I got charged with 7201 tax evasion. Okay. And they based a lot of that on that I didn't file the tax returns, okay? But that's not what I was charged with. I was charged with, now, in reference to that, now I lost my train of thought.
You were saying you weren't charged with the 7201.
Right? You
were charged, but we're trying to figure out how, because they didn't try to collect the money.
Yeah, right. Okay. Now I knew that. I knew that. Now, the judge in that trial never came back and said, now you're required to pay. Okay. Why not? Okay. Now, that's a big point, because what the IRS, if all this was legal, what the IRS is required to do to get that money, and it's not about money, it's about power over people. It's about keeping them all sheep. And it is never about the money. I mean, if they want money, they print it.
Right. Right.
Right. We all know that. Monopoly money, FRNs, but that's another story. And I was on probation for 5 years. And out of those two counts, what they gave me, the judge, I ended up with a judge that was a senior judge at the time. I was lucky, right? Given that judge, he couldn't put me behind bars. He couldn't do it. I got 3 months in a halfway house. That was my jail sentence. After that, then I did my 5 years probation. My probation officer never came to me. It never said anything about that. You got to pay the one. You know what she said? She said, "Well, you got to start filing now." Now you got to stop filing. So I mean,
did they ever even do like a substitute return? How did you get from the point where you're literally doing nothing. You're not filing, you're not paying anything. And then you're in court. How did that happen? And it usually, because I've done that before, and they did a substitute file on me, and they tried to, you know, go that route.
Well, I don't know if you or people that were listening here now are familiar with the W-4. And it didn't even occur to me, because by the time I'm about to learn it, I'm going, how can this possibly be? Well, what do I do to keep my money? So the W-4 is a deduction instrument. That's all it does.
The allowance certificate.
It's a sworn statement by you, and you sign it, and you mark on it that you are exempt from the tax, and you start collecting your entire paycheck. Okay? I didn't know any better. But what the IRS does is they come back, and without any sworn statements on their behalf, they take that W-4, tell the people that, you know, it's They get rid of it. They rip it up. They put it into the circular file on whomever. And that's how basically it starts. And they start sending in these letters and then all these penalties. And I mean, by the time I got the trial, it was up to $75,000. 2 years of income tax. I mean, yeah, I'd be glad.
Yeah, they'll slap those fees on, and it's amazing. I mean, I know people who are they have a payment plan, and they make their payments every month, and the balance keeps going up.
Mm-hmm.
It's like what planet are we on that this makes any sense? It's insane.
Right.
So
now,
yeah,
another big point. Do you know, are you aware of what type of agency that the IRS is?
Probably not.
It's an administrative agency.
Right.
How about that?
So,
Think about that for a second. It's an administrative agency. They have no enforcement power. In reality, I mean, you write your senator and congressman, they'll write you a letter back. Exactly that. It's an administrative agency. They have more power than the Board of Education.
So it's not considered part of the executive under the presidential power.
No, I mean the type of agency that it is. It's not like the ATF.
It's not
an enforcement agency.
So they've never been delegated any actual enforcement power, is what you're saying.
Bingo.
Interesting.
Oh, you didn't know that?
No.
See? You learned something.
Yeah.
I mean,
what I do know is, like, they do have tax courts, which are not, they're essentially administrative courts. They're not, I do know that those have no, it's one of those things where, like, basically, if you agree to arbitration, then the ruling in arbitration can be legally binding. But that's essentially what those IRS courts are, from what I understand.
Tax court is just a waste of your time.
Yeah, like
that's
traffic
all it
court.
Is.
Traffic they're, court's a big fake one.
They're there to try. They're there to try to figure out how much you owe.
Right. It's the illusion that you're having a trial.
Yeah. Exactly.
So you think. You're getting the, yeah, well, uh-huh. That's what the justice system said, so I guess that's what I got to go with. That's
correct.
Yeah, that's
correct. I wouldn't waste my time in a tax court. It's a total waste of time and money.
Well, so how does somebody get to tax court? Is that something you can avoid, or is I thought the IRS would be the one to initiate a case there?
No. If you want to fight at all, they'll present that to you, and they'll give you about like 90 days or something that you have, or else 91 days, then you can't bring it to tax court anymore.
So that's almost like that's almost exactly like traffic court, because traffic court is basically like, give us the money or go to the fake court. And what I've learned with traffic court is you can actually contest that as you know, you refuse to appear under the grounds that you were forced to sign this contract under fraud, and the traffic court is not an actual court, and you threaten to sue the state under the Fair Debt Collections and Practices Act, and they usually just back down because they know they have this fake contract with you, and they have a fake court, and they don't have any actual criminal jurisdiction over you to drag you into these courts. So that sounds actually very much like what you're saying about the tax court.
Well, it's worse with tax court because tax court, more in trying to describe it to you the best way I can, it's a court, it's their court. It's an IRS court. It's not even
right.
It's not part of the judicial branch. It's not an adversary court, you know.
Right.
Where you had somebody that's, I say this way and you say that way and you have a conflict there. It's not that at all.
Right. It's just come in and get fleeced.
It's the tax, tax court. It's an IRS court. It's their court.
Yeah, that's actually, maybe this is a better example. I went to fight a parking ticket in Los Angeles. And I know these are like, these are, you know, this is petty compared to the IRS, but I thought it was real interesting that, so they had this process. If you don't agree with the traffic ticket, then, you know, fill out your information on the back and, or call this number, whatever, and you'll schedule a hearing or a trial. They called it a trial, I think, or maybe they just called it a hearing. But so they told me to go to the parking enforcement office. And they sat me down in a room, they turned on a tape recorder, and there was a woman there who worked for the traffic for the traffic enforcement department. And she was asking me questions and asking me to explain why I don't think I should have to pay the ticket. And then she said, okay, and this is what they do with a lot of courts because they know people get upset if you don't give them the ruling they want. They say, okay, I'm going to review the information. You go home, we'll send you a letter. And I, of course, this is, you know, I was really young and I didn't know what the hell was going on. But of course, they send me a letter saying, no, you owe the money. And this was, this is exactly what we're talking about. It's like smoke and mirrors. You go in there, they give you an opportunity to vent about your problems. And then you go home and you, and they tell you, you got to pay it anyway. That it's absolutely insane. And I didn't realize tax court was that much nonsense, like relatively the same as parking tickets. Now, of course, they like your issue was not in tax court. That would have been in criminal court, right? Federal criminal court,
United States District Court, right?
So yeah, that's that's really interesting. So let's I want to talk about your history with Irwin, because you mentioned that he actually mentioned you in his book, The Federal Mafia. Right. What was your relationship with him? And like, did you know him before you kind of went on this path? And you know, before you got charges filed and all this other stuff, or was that after? What's kind of the timeline with all that?
Well, no. I didn't know him at all. He advertised in an old local newspaper, and I was intrigued about it because I knew something was going on there. But I mean, I used to pay my taxes before even the year was over. I used to collect my I don't know if you know if I even mentioned it to you. I'm a retired postal worker. Okay, so that even makes it worse. I mean, I get a government paycheck from the Treasury, and they got this tax evasion business. Right. But in 82, I went to that seminar, and we got to be friends. And he had, I think his mother was down here somewhere, so he used to come down here once in a while. And then he moved out to Las Vegas. But, and we kept in touch over the years, and I go to Vegas once in a while, but, by the time he wrote The Federal Mafia, we were getting into the, regulations and everything, and, growing more and more, and, finding out all these things. And, by the time he went to trial, I wish he would have had the trial here. I mean, I would have been there almost every day, but he had that trial, and it was a flat out kangaroo court is what it was. I mean, it was nothing more, nothing less. But as I mentioned to you before, it gets back down to jurisdiction. I mean, this court doesn't even have jurisdiction over him. And at that time, Irwin didn't even know to bring it up, or else I believe he would have. But the court doesn't even have jurisdiction. And as far as I know, nobody has ever brought that up. Okay. And I'm just itching to try to get a hold of somebody that is hopefully local, or even if they're in another state. I mean, I do as much as I can, that they would bring this to the court. And on top of that, if you need anything else, okay, the 7201 or whatever regulation that they're going to bring forward, chances are they're going to use that. Was it 7201, tax evasion? It doesn't even have an implementing regulation. Okay, it was never even implemented. So you're getting that puzzling look in your face. They say, well, yeah, what am no, I supposed I mean, to do with that? But, well, okay, now how is an agency supposed to use that when they didn't even implement it? You can't do it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's what people don't really understand about, you know, just how the law works in general. Like, I made this video that it went viral. 6 million people saw it, and it was about the Freedom Law School that says there's no law. They're offering $300,000. I think they even raised it since then to anyone who can show the law that says you have to pay the income tax. Now people would come along and they'd post the 16th Amendment and they'd say, "Where's my money?" And I would say, "Did you read the 16th Amendment?" Because it's exactly what you're talking about. The 16th Amendment is not a tax. If anything, it creates or gives Congress the ability to create a tax. And then just mm-hmm. like you're saying, if once Congress creates a tax, then they have to say, how is it going to be enforced and collected? And without all of these steps, nobody has to pay it,
right?
Because there's like, that's the thing. What is the penalty if you don't follow XYZ? Who's going to enforce that? Which court has jurisdiction? All of these issues come up. And if the 16th Amendment was there by itself, all it says, right. I got it right here.
Now, as you're saying that, okay, I would add, there's a reason for that. There's a reason why the federal government cannot come directly to you or me or anybody listening here directly, because the tax has to be in apportionment, okay? It has to be done in a way that it is so...
It would be
so complicated, it's impossible to do.
Well, here's the thing, because here's the thing about apportionment. Okay, well, first let me read the 16th Amendment.
Right.
The Congress shall have the power to lay and collect taxes on incomes, blah, 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 from whatever source derived, without regard to census or enumerated, without apportionment. Okay, this says the Congress shall have the power to lay and collect taxes. It does not say there is hereby imposed a tax.
Exactly.
So this is not the creation of the income tax. To your point about apportionment, so I'll talk about this in a second too for anyone listening, but so Article 1, Section 8, the Congress shall have the power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises to pay the debts, blah, blah, blah. And it says, let's see.
As you're doing that, let me know. Give me a second. I wanted to bring a couple of more important items up.
Yeah, go for it. I think this is it.
Now, you get down to what they issue, and you think about it for a second and do any research, you'll see I'm correct, okay? The IRS will never issue a levy or a lien. They will issue a notice of.
Right.
A notice of a lien and a notice of a levy, okay? And they're not the same thing.
Right.
Okay? There will never be a lien or a levy for one good reason, because the court system had nothing to do with it. Okay? For a levy or a lien.
Right. You need judicial authority to make that
involved.
Happen.
The judicial process would have to be involved.
Right. Due process.
I challenge you. You tell me about that question about where does it show where anybody's liable for the income taxes. I say to you, let anybody show me where anybody was sent from the IRS, a person like you, a person like me, a person, anybody listening, that you show me the levy or lien,
right,
that was presented to them,
and
they won't have it because it was never produced.
There's I went through that process. I got
notice.
Yeah, no, they sent a notice of levy to my bank, and of course my bank just caved in and said, yeah, here's all of his money. But I read it, and I read the back, and there was what they do with the banks. They skip. There's like, oh yeah, here's all the laws printed on the back section. You know, whatever A, C, D. Wait, where's B? And I go into the tax code and look up B, and B was the part that said that a levy is only valid with an actual judge's signature on it. So I flip it around and I'm like, what signature does this have on it? It was a scribbly line that didn't have a name under it. So you had no idea who it was. It's just like you could tell it's a printed, you know, signature, mm-hmm. a printed squiggly line. And it's all manipulation. You look at this and it's like, what the hell are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
I want to see. I think I might actually have a.
Now you did with that letter B, like you said. Okay, I went one step further. Okay, I was at the law library, law library at the University of Miami. Okay, now they have all those forms. Okay, and those forms are in that book, all of them. So notice the levy, notice the lien. The levy and the lien, they're all in there, and I have them. If anybody wants to see them, I'll show them. I'll get them to you. I mean,
yeah,
they're there.
I just found one right here. So check this out. Let's see. You're not going to be able to see it again.
I'm getting just like this, just talking about it.
Yeah, it's nuts. No, let's see. Where can I? Okay, This is everybody wants to know. I don't know if I told you, I'm running for president of the United States. So everybody wants to know. Everybody wants to know. Okay, well, we want to see the president's tax information, right? You're not going to be able to see it, but the viewers can. I'm gonna actually wait. Hang on a second. Let me share it so you can see this too.
No, I don't need to see it. I'll be fine.
Well, you might have some input on it. Can you see that?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so
aptitude. Okay.
So this is I don't know what aptitude is. That's probably the name of their software. So this is Clark County, Nevada. Huh. The IRS paid $1 to file a lien against me. Here's the instrument number and all this other stuff. So this is just the cover sheet. But then you get down here to the actual notice of federal tax lien. And okay, it says, as provided by section 6321, 6322, 6323 of the Internal Revenue, we are giving a notice that taxes have been assessed against the following named taxpayer. We have made a demand for payment, but it remains unpaid. Therefore, there is a lien in favor of the United States on all property and rights to property belonging to this taxpayer for the amount of blah, 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 blah. Wait, what? How did you get there? It says we assessed a tax and therefore we have made a demand for payment and therefore there's a lien.
No.
That doesn't
That's
make
not the way it works.
Right? Okay, so now check this out. Here's this signature at the bottom. Let me see.
Go back down again.
Signature. Pamela J. Rogers.
Yeah. I think you missed something. Go back down, please.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Now, right there. Now, okay. Therefore, there is a lien, okay? You didn't say it, and it seemed to me like you missed it, okay? So where is the lien?
Right.
That's not a lien. Where's the lien?
Right.
Where is it? Like I was saying, It doesn't exist, but it has to resist. I mean,
this is just a notice.
It's just a notice, right?
Right.
Exactly.
It's like
without the lien, this is meaningless. Doesn't mean anything.
Oh, oops. Hang on a second. I'm not showing this to everybody. They're not seeing this. So I just want to go back over this. Sorry, guys. So you can see this again. This is the cover sheet saying that the IRS filed this. This is the notice of federal tax lien, and this is where it says, as provided, section 60, blah, 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 of the Internal Revenue Code, we are giving notice that taxes have been assessed, including interest and penalties, against mm-hmm. the following taxpayer, and we have made a demand for payment, but it remains unpaid. Therefore, there is a lien. Okay, but think about this too. I have determined you owe me money. I have asked for that money, and therefore there is a lien. Like, wait, a mm-hmm. lien is magically created by a person asking for money? That's what they're saying. They have asked mm-hmm. for money, and I haven't paid it, and therefore there is a lien. That's not what a lien is. A lien has to be created under some authority. Therefore, the lien exists is like, let there be light. It's like the government just trying to say we have the authority to create whatever we want, and that's absolute nonsense. But then, so then we go back to down to the bottom, right? Pamela J. Rogers. Who's she? Is she a judge? Does she work for the IRS? I mean, usually any type of like contract or notice or official document or anything, you put your title. Like if I'm signing over, you know, ownership of something and it belongs to a corporation, you're going to say CEO of corporation. If mm-hmm. it's, you know, whatever it is, if you buy a car, look at where you sign your name. It says right under your name, the buyer, the seller. Like, who the hell is Pamela Rogers and what association does she have with any of this? And what makes this legal? This is absolutely insane. So mm-hmm. this is the kind of stuff you're talking about where,
Before you move it, don't move it.
Yep.
I want to add to what something you said. And look at the bottom of it. Okay. Now what I just read was it said lien. Okay. They talking about a lien, but look at what they're talking about now. Okay. It's not essential to the validity of a notice of federal tax.
Wow. Note. Certificate.
You know, I mean, come on.
Of officer by law. Wait, what is this? I can't even make sense of this. Hold on. Certificate of officer authorized by law to take acknowledgement is not essential to the validity of the notice of the federal tax lien. So basically what they're saying is,
because it means nothing.
We don't
something that
need...
means nothing doesn't need to be validated.
It basically says we don't need certificate that Pamela Rogers is authorized by law to make this uh-huh. notice of lien.
Right, because the notice of lien,
because it's just a useless piece of paper.
Because it's meaningless. Because it's like the FRNs that we use, Monopoly money.
Okay, I wanna tell you something else that's really hilarious about this. So a few years ago, so this was filed in 2010. It was originally assessed in 2006. No, that was the tax period. It was like assessed in like 2008, I think. No, it was earlier in March 2010.
Date of assessment.
So,
yeah, right.
So, and then they filed it in October. And so somewhere around, I don't know, maybe it was 2016 or something. I was trying to get my stuff together and you know, this ended up on my credit report and I was like, man, I had cleaned up everything on my credit report. I gotten rid of all my old bad debt. Everything was paid off. And I was like, this is the only thing that's there. And through part of the process of cleaning up my credit, I learned to dispute, credit reports. So I was like, I wonder what would happen if I just disputed this. And I sent just a generic dispute that I don't know what this is, and it was completely removed off my credit report.
I learned something new. I didn't know that.
That's how meaningless this is. It's absolutely insane. You know what's funny? So, because I got in trouble with debt, like, I don't know, probably decades ago. And I learned about the Fair Debt Collections and Practices Act, but I also, so I learned about it when I was researching about, you know, because I was being harassed by debt collectors. But then I also, but then there was also like, I ended up in a situation where somebody was, I set up an AT&T service and they were never able to get the line to work. So they were just like, okay, fine, screw it. And I called them and said, I'm not going to pay for this because you never got it set up. And long story short, it ended up going to collections because they never fixed it. And I took the knowledge that I knew of this and I sued the collection agency and I won a few thousand dollars because they were harassing me for money that I didn't owe. And so further down the line, I took my knowledge of this law and I said, wait a minute, it says in this law that this applies to any debt, whether it's a private agency or the government. So basically what that says to me is if the government is harassing me for money, I can use these laws against them. And so I did. And I've done this for parking tickets and traffic tickets and some other things. And it's the same thing because it's all the smoke and mirrors where it's just like, oh, you have to pay. Really? Do I? And when all it takes is you send a letter to them saying, hey, I'm not going to pay this. And if you don't stop harassing me, I'm going to sue you under the federal law. And they disappear. It's amazing that this actually works, but it's because they know they're operating outside of the law and they're operating through intimidation. And most people pay because they're afraid and they don't want to get sued over that because they know that's going to bring attention to their whole scam. That's going to make the whole house of cards fall down.
Now, in light of what you said, for me to add, okay, I did basically the same thing, okay, and what I did was at some point, I was working for the Postal Service, like I mentioned, okay, and they were taking my entire paycheck. My entire paycheck they were taking, even though law states they're not supposed to take no more.
Yeah, there's 25%. Like a maximum of like
25%.
Yeah.
That's all they were, okay. Now, I had at least two items to back me up there. And the post office, within their own regulations, they're not allowed to give that much money to. So what I did, I got so desperate, I didn't know what else to do. I wrote him a letter. I said, what are you doing? You're taking all the money. This is all the money I got coming in. I have no money. You're leaving me with no money. I was word for word. I couldn't say what I said, but basically that was it. And before I realized it, I got in the mail the release of the levy there. And
wow, of the whole levy.
Of a release of the levy. They didn't take the money out of my paycheck anymore, right?
None of it. So they weren't taking anything. I mean, they were just none back on regular withholding now, right?
Right.
That's so amazing.
After retirement, they tried starting that, okay? And I wrote the same letter. But you know what they said to me? They said, hey, we're watching you. Right? It's, okay.
And this is what blows my mind. We pay taxes to the federal government so that the federal government can pay its employees and operations. So why are they taxing their employees? That makes absolutely no sense. It's like yeah, on paper you're gonna make 40 grand, but in reality you're gonna make 30. Like, there's, why not just give them 30 and say that federal employees are exempt from taxes? And okay, from what I understand about it, it's the exact opposite. It's government employees are the only people who actually have to pay the tax because they're it's a privilege to work for the government.
No, you know that's not true either. That's really one of those things that no, that's not true. No. Before we go any further, as we were doing that lean in, that notice of lean and levy thing, okay, it came to mind that, well, maybe we're leaving a few of the people behind here. Well, okay, well, now we know that. So now what are we supposed to do with that? Okay, now my mindset is to tell them that if they ever get into that circumstances or they know somebody, what you basically do is you know better now. Notice this, notice that. No. What you do is you demand the levy or the notice. You demand it. And then when they say, well, that is what that we sent you, I said, no. You sent me a notice. I know there's two different things. I know that you cannot get me a levy or a lien because you will never go to court. So they can add that to what you had done. And I see a lot of good things happening with that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really interesting because, for anyone who doesn't know, Irwin, I would say he was kind of the grandfather of the tax protest movement or the tax honesty movement. And he ended up going to prison. He died in prison.
Yes, he did.
And so a lot of people point to this and they always point to, you know, Wesley Snipes and Al Capone and like, you know, oh, see, even those guys ended up in prison over taxes. And what I really like to point out is that yes, but at the same time, the tax code was created as a weapon against us. And we don't know how that works, especially when you consider that this was written in 1913. We didn't have computers. You couldn't do find and search and all this other stuff. And we can do all that now. And it makes it really easier to tear this code apart and really understand what it's saying. And they did an amazing job. You have to give them credit. They did an amazing job with passing an unconstitutional tax and then convincing us to pay it. But as we learn the tax code, as we learn exactly what everything means and exactly how everything works, it's just like I like to use the analogy of rockets into space. The first few rockets we sent into space had people on them. They blew up and they killed everybody. Now we get rockets into space every other day. We've got private companies sending rockets into space. This all happens now. The laws of physics didn't change. We were able to understand them better and prevent bad things from happening. And so, so now that people are, you know, now that we're able to understand all of these laws and how they've created it as a weapon against us, we're able to fight it that much better. And I know there are plenty of people out there who are, they're not filing, they're claiming exempt, they're not paying, they're refusing, and they're not going to jail. They're winning because so much more is known about this tax code now than there was before. I want to ask, because you said you went to Vegas, you knew Irwin. Do you know Dave Champion or Joe Bannister? Because those guys are both out there around Vegas, and it seems, I don't know what it is about Vegas, but it seems like that's where a lot of the tax honesty movement has kind of always been. Do you know anything about that? Why that is?
No, I don't know them. I can't say that I do now.
Just coincidence. I was thinking, you know, maybe because I mean that's kind of what Vegas was, right? It was like an isolated place in the middle of the desert where people could go to gamble, and you know, it was just like the middle of nowhere, so the feds wouldn't screw with them.
Well, to tell you the truth, I mean, that never came up. I never did ask Irwin why he moved out there. But he was originally from Connecticut, you know.
Yeah.
And that area.
Yeah. And he ran for president. I was watching some of his old videos the other day. It was funny. It was like speeches and, you know, it was like a debate. And so every time he got called up, like the first thing he said is he would just start in like digging into the IRS about how it's a fraud and a scam and everything else. And then they'd say, okay, it's time, go sit down. And then they started asking questions, and then he gets up there to talk again, and he would just continue on where he was going with his story. He's like, I don't care about answering these questions. Let me tell you about the IRS. And it was really amazing. Uh-huh. I want to say this was in 96, maybe? No. 92? But it was, yeah, it was, he's really an amazing guy. I remember he was making several speeches after 9/11 happened. And of course, this is what's really kind of scary right now. What's going on with this virus and all these laws that they're passing, they could be up to, I mean, we're seeing some weird stuff going on with the Federal Reserve. They want to pass the next version of the Patriot Act, whatever that is. Bill Gates talking about, we need digital certificates of people, whether or not they've had the virus, so that when they travel in and out of the country. And I'm like, that sounds like chipping to me. Like, we're going to get chipped if we want to travel internationally. All this stuff is going on right now. It's absolutely insane. And I'm like, are they getting ready to pass like another huge bulk of legislation that's going to tear our lives apart, and we're going to spend the next 10 or 20 years trying to figure it out? I don't know. It's really kind of scary.
Well, I don't know what to say to that, actually. I've heard a lot of things myself. There was one guy who put on the YouTube in reference to one hospital in New York that he went to the hospital, and he got chased off by the cop in front. He couldn't even make it inside. He was asking a couple of EMTs that he saw. There was about 8 ambulances there. So he talked to a couple of the EMTs, and they didn't know anything about seeing any victims or whatever. And
so like the hospital was empty. Like there
Well, he didn't see no activity at all about all this going on over there. I mean,
so I had a friend today, just today, and this is somebody I know very well, and I trust absolutely that, you know, what he was showing was the truth. He's in Houston, and he went to like one of the big hospitals in downtown Houston, and it was like a ghost town there. And he went in, and he ended up getting in, and I saw he recorded a short clip. He was on the elevator talking to like someone in scrubs. I don't know if they were a nurse or something. And they said, yeah, no, it's not really busy down here at all. So that's really interesting that that's coming out of New York too.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
But, yeah, there was this other guy that came up, and, I think he's up in Germany somewhere. And he was talking about how there seems to be a lot of people around the world that are what he described self was going, the individuals were going to these hospitals. And I had not done that yet, but I believe this person. I really do. But part of what I was hearing was that the Fed was being absorbed by the Treasury, and there's going to be no more Federal Reserve. So that's good. And my feeling for it, and sometimes at some point in your life, I've had 2 open hearts, and sometimes some people listening, and you might understand this and have their own way of you doing it, but I call it either having faith or not having faith. And sometimes some things are just out of our ability that we cannot do anything for an outcome that we would desire. Whatever's going to be is going to be. And I have a feeling that all of this is going to be not black hats winning and the white hats all becoming slaves. I don't see that. I see it the opposite happening. And I have faith that that's what's going to happen.
All right. Well, I hope you're right, man. And we're definitely fighting for it. So that's a good thing. I know a lot of people are waking up to the reality of what the government is, and hopefully that's enough to stop them. But yeah, I mean, it's we can't give up the fight, because if we do, then they're going to say, hey, this is easy. We just need to take over. So, yeah, but you are right. We do need to have a positive outlook. And you know, if we stay vigilant and let them know that we're paying attention to what they're doing, it is going to be that much more difficult for them to do that kind of thing. All right. Well, I want to give you an opportunity. We're kind of at the end of the show, but if there's anything else you want to say, if there's anything you want to plug, I know you mentioned a couple books that you recommend. Maybe there's some other source of information where you learned a lot from that you'd like to recommend for people to check out.
Websites. Well, books. If you have an inclination. Now that I am more familiar with all of this, there's a couple of things that I'd like to put together, and then perhaps we can do this again. Now, about me being in the Federal Mafia, I would ask one thing that happened that I'm sure my good friend Irwin overlooked, okay? And I would ask everybody to refrain from using some of the personal information that happens to be on some documents that I gave Irwin to put in the book. The question to him being, did I feel like any of it needed to be redacted or redacted,
whatever, yeah.
Right? Okay. And I said, no, just put it up in the book. There's one piece of information that he did leave on that thing. I won't even say what it is. When you see it, you'll know it. But I am in the book. Howard Hal Oldman, postal worker. It's hard to miss. It's online. And I jokingly, but serious now, it is very good beginning for anybody that at a level where they are looking for more information. I highly suggest free. Everybody loves free. And absolutely. In reference to part what you had mentioned about how they tried to stop him from getting the book out, what they did stop was they stopped him from selling it. He put it online. Put it online for... I'm missing.
There's actually there's a few copies floating around on eBay and Amazon. If you want to get one of the original copies, I had one. I gave it to a very close friend when I was moving a few years ago. But it's I think that's an amazing piece of history. If you can get one.
Something happened to my. Okay, I lost you just for a second there. Okay.
I just plugged the hard copy of the book. They are still on Amazon and eBay. There's still
they are worth buying. Yeah. You can buy them for peanuts almost. So.
Yeah, it's an amazing book. And something else I want to point out too, because this that was written in the 90s, right?
Uh-huh.
So this was, Irwin did an amazing job figuring out what he figured out, but there's been a lot of new information discovered since. So, when you read the book, understand that there's new information that he didn't have at the time, and things have changed. But definitely, look at that. There's a couple other books I would recommend. There's Shattering the Myth by Dave Champion. And there's, what's this other one? Breaking the Code? Cracking the Code? I can't remember the name of the author on that one, because that one's really kind of hard to find, but it's Cracking the Code and Shattering the Myths. Those are two really great books also. Use them all together, because ultimately, especially I'll say this about myself. I'm kind of hard-headed too when it comes to what works, what doesn't, what's right and what's wrong, and what the law says and what the courts will say and everything else. And a lot of us freedom-loving activists are the same, and we stick to one strategy. If I will say myself, don't listen to everything that I say. Learn other information from other people, and let's have a discussion, because you might learn something that's true that I don't believe in, but hey, you figure out a better way to put it together. So that's why I definitely recommend all three of those books to really have a bearing on the information that you're learning and make your own wise decisions according to what you believe is right. I think that's the most fair thing to say, because the last thing I want anyone to do is end up in jail because they took information from one book, or they didn't cross all the T's and dot all the I's, and you know, something happened and then they come back around and blame the author of a book or the person who recommended it or something else. Because this is a criminal organization that we're dealing with, and they will do whatever they can. They're always learning new tricks to when they know that we're figuring out the law, they find out new tricks to try to get us try to get us coerced into paying it. So with all that said, I know I'm going off on a rant again. Sharky, thank you so much for joining. It was amazing having a conversation with you. Got some really great information. Hopefully everybody watching learned some great things. And I'd love to have you back on the show sometime. We can talk more about some of this stuff. And until next time, taxation is theft. Taxation is theft.
Please, at least leave us alone in our living room.
My job is to find the truth.
Double the taxes.
I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
Triple the taxes.
This is an IRS agent's dream.
If you think that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself.
Beautiful, lovely.
Sorry, but I don't do taxes.
Did you see the memo about this?
The government is a greedy piglet.
Just leave us alone.
Do you know what Ralph just said?
The roads!